Well, go in your Bibles with me, please. We're going to go this morning to a number of scriptures. I hope you guys got my lesson out there. You didn't get it? You didn't get the lesson? Well, we're going to have to call the cops. Something's going on here. I'm not sure why this is happening. Something happened to the... let's see... Maybe it's okay. Let's try one more time. Or you can't open it. We got to get a locksmith or something. I don't know why this is happening. Somebody might have to show me. We're okay? Okay, so this is on national television. You know that, right? Okay, praise God. This is appropriate message in this morning. I'm going to talk about possessing a never quit attitude. Hope for the hopeless. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. We're going to start with that text and read it in a couple of other versions. I'm thinking of reading it in New Living Translation and the TPT version as well. So let us go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And we'll figure this out. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the profession. And the original language is confession, not profession. Let us hold fast. Everybody say hold fast. Hold fast our profession. You know why he wants, you know why he's saying to hold fast? Because the enemy is trying to take from your mouth the good faith of confession that you have. He wants you to say the negative thing. And sometimes you have to hold your tongue. You have to change the way you talk about what's going on in your life. You got to change no matter what's going on, how evil it seems and how bad it is. You can't say what's happened in the negative. I mean, you could talk about it. That's not a bad confession to talk about something bad. But it's when you continually be angry about it, and you say, oh, this always happens to me, I've never made, you know, don't say those things. It's destructive to you. And so, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Thank God, for he is faithful that promised. So, you're going to confess the promises of God. Is there promises in the Bible for you? Did you find one at least this morning or something? Did you find a promise at some time in your life? You're going to use that? Let's look at it from the angle of the NLT version. The NLT. It says, let us hold tightly. Everybody say, hold tightly. Well, hold fast and hold tightly. It's, you know, NLT is, I like NLT. Let us hold tightly without wavering. That means, you know, wavering means doubting. You know, when you waver, you're doubting. You're going in and out. James says, when you waver, you're like the sea. You're going from one thing to another. I'm in, I'm out. I'm healed, I'm not. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. We're not talking about emotionally. We're talking about spiritually. Because your mind can go up and down, up and down. Don't think about your mind about that. Just know what the Bible says. So it says here, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. So you can only affirm to the things you know. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. God is always a person who will do what he said. Let's go to the TPT translation. The TPT says, so now wrap your hearts tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Isn't that wonderful? And of course, Hebrews 6 and 12 says, through faith and patience. Not just faith, but and patience. You got to be patient. Somebody say, well, how long do I have to wait? Well, until it's done. You know God is faithful. He'll say what he said in his word. So stand strong. You might have to stand a couple of years, some of you. Maybe a couple of months, maybe a couple of minutes. I always want a couple hours, maybe. Or at least, maybe sometimes maybe a couple of days. But when it starts stretching out to a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of years, you get weary. Huh? Get tired. But the Bible says don't quit. So that's what we're talking about, never quit attitude. Here's an idea I want to bring across to you this morning. As long as there's a God in heaven, as long as we have God, there's always hope. Amen? Everybody say this, as long as God is God, there is hope for me. So we're not hopeless. The devil wants to tell you you're hopeless, but you're not. I want to read you a scripture here in Psalm 31, verse 24. I'm reading the TPT translation. I seem to like that because it gives you, you know, today's English. It's paraphrased. It's not exact translation, but it means the same thing. It says here, so cheer up. Take courage. Well, that's a good word right there. You could go home right now and say, man, I've done it. All you who love him, wait for him to break through for you, all who trust in him. I believe there's going to be a breakthrough this morning. I believe it's a supernatural encounter with Jesus this morning. Super encounter with the Holy Ghost this morning. He's here right now, and he's doing something on your behalf. You laid some prayers down last night and the day before, and he's working on them right now, praise God. It might not seem like it. You might not even feel like it. Your mind's going the wrong way, but God's working on you right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I was reading the other day, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that God, you know, in verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6 says, God, he's working in you. Ever since you've been born again, he's working on you. He's not finished with you. Chapter 2, verse 13 says that God will give you the want to, even when you don't want to. Read it in the New Living. He'll give you the want to when you don't want to. He'll give you that ability, and he'll give you the grace to complete whatever it is you ask him. Now, you might not feel up every day. You might not feel top of the world. That has nothing to do with faith in terms of walking by faith. But once you start walking by faith, then you start feeling better. When you decide, I'm going to walk with God. So we're talking about a never quit attitude. We're talking about hope for the hopeless. So as an introduction, I want to speak about the father of faith, Abraham, as an illustration. Someone who kept hoping even though things looked hopeless. He didn't cast away his confidence, which contradicted his confession. His confession of faith. He kept saying what God said about him, even though it didn't seem like it was possible. He called those things which be not as though they were. You're right on target this morning. Romans 4:17. He didn't call it like it is. He called it the way he wanted it, according to what the Bible said, according to the promises of God. So even though the promises of God are not true right now in your life, go ahead and confess it. Go ahead and declare it. Go ahead and say what God says about it. You say, well, I'd be lying. No, you ain't lying. You're saying what God says. Looking at the hopeless, the Bible says, Abraham didn't quit when things seemed hopeless. He could have easily quit because he was old. Everybody say old. His wife was old too. Everybody say, ah. I mean, you know, not only you, but everybody else is old. Huh? So it seemed to be an end to their promise because God promised something. They're old. It was imminent. His wife was very well past her prime of having a baby. God promised him a child to be his heir. And it hadn't happened yet, though it was a number of years that went by and time was flying. And things seemed hopeless. Let's read the Romans 4:18 in the TPT Bible. Romans 4:18, TPT. It says, you know, I believe you love this because it gives a clear view of Abraham's situation, which we all can relate to at one time or another in our lives. Let's go ahead and read the TPT of Romans 4:18. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promises or the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He believed the promise and he expected God. Not Abraham, he expected God to do it. You should expect God to do what he said. And you should do what God told you to do. Right? He took God at his word. As a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be as so many that they'll be impossible to count. That's what he says in Scripture. So we're talking about hope this morning, and I was looking at, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean, hope? In Abraham's, it's in Abraham's expectation of what God promised. He anticipated that what God said would happen, just like he said it would happen. It wasn't a 50-50% chance that it could that might happen. No, God said something. He believed it. He believed the promise. It would happen. It wasn't like a strong possibility if things work out, things situations looks good. Long as we put our hope in people, it's going to be a percentage. But if we put our hope in God, it's sure going to come to pass. So, the dictionary says this. Hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. To cherish a desire with anticipation. To want something to happen to be true. Right? So wanting is not enough. Desiring something is not enough when it comes to supernatural things from God, from heaven. So, another thing is to desire with expectation of attaining some fulfillment. That's another one. Another one says to expect with confidence. I like that. A Bible definition is confident expectation. That means you're confident that what God said is going to happen. So we need to expect, just like that scripture we read earlier, expect God to do what he said he's going to do. You know, sometimes it seems a little easier to quit. It's so easy just to quit when you face tough situations or opposition time after time, especially after when you experience fatigue. So many failures, so many disappointments. You become weary. You know, sometimes many quit too early when victory is just around the corner. The Bible says, faith and patience inherit the promises. So don't quit this morning. Paul encourages those Galatians there who were ready to throw in the towel. He said, do not quit, he told them. You're going to reap a harvest. So I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, don't quit. Maybe you didn't make it yet, but don't quit. He says in the Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, the NLT. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Just at the right time. I like that. At the right time. So, not the wrong time, the right time. God will bring it through for you. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't quit. I remember Brother Hagin once said, you know, when you quit, it's like you never started. So stay. You know, quitting is like you never started. Stand on the word. Declare the word. Tell the devil. Don't be afraid of the devil. Tell him you're a liar. God's word is true. And I declare the truth of God's word in my life, and the devil is a liar. Now you gotta understand that Jesus got the victory for you. Plant that in your heart. That you don't be afraid of him. The Bible says, "Do not be afraid." That don't go pick a fight with him. But tell him you're not afraid, because God says, "Don't be afraid." So, achieving any kind of success, or you know whatever you want in life, requires more than a strong desire. You need a never quit attitude. Our pastor says, what does he say? I will not quit. And I'll never be defeated. You might have to be patient to push through the waves of opposition in your life. At the end of Joshua's life and ministry, he encouraged the children of Israel to continue to follow in the footsteps. Hallelujah. Here's what he said. Joshua 23, in verse 14, New Living. Soon I will die. I'm going the way of everything on the earth. Dig deep in your hearts and know that every promise that the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. In other words, he said, you know, when God promised us everything, everything he told us didn't fail. He told us he had to be reminded, and we need to be reminded. Go back to the scripture and what God said. He said, I'm sending my beloved son so that you can be born again. And here you are, you're born again. God said, I'm sending my Holy Spirit one day to the prophets and the apostles. Holy Spirit came. Now you're sitting here full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And many other promises like that. And he's true to his word. We can stand here and say, thank God for that. And you know what? You may not always succeed in the first attempt. Just because you fail one time doesn't mean you're going to quit. And they say sometimes, you know, big people who've done things, they said, you know, failure sometimes is part of the game. Some of you guys in addictions know this, that just because you went back to using doesn't mean that's the end of the world. If it was so, I wouldn't be here. I mean, how many times I lamented and cried, I failed, got up again, went back again, tried again, got up again, went to find myself in detox, find myself in the hospital, and find myself on the street, find myself, wake up somewhere, don't know how I got there. Wake up under the bed, wake up in the washroom somewhere. I always remember the time I woke up in the washroom downtown Port Arthur. I didn't know how I got there. Didn't know how long I was there. I just woke up on the bathroom floor. Had a habit of reading the serial numbers. You know, God is faithful to his promises. People said, no, you never make it. You'll never make it. But God's promises is true. I didn't know God. But God is faithful, even though you don't know him. I reached out to God and said, God, help me. I was not born again, but God helped me. He's very faithful. He's faithful. And so I'm able to stay alive, and you're able to stay alive. So you might not succeed the first time. To reach your goals, you must stand your ground, face opposition and failure. You might not succeed the first time. There are many people in life who never quit and sought a fulfillment of their dreams. Let's be reminded of some outstanding things. Let me just read some modern history. It took Thomas Edison 1,000 attempts to invent the light bulb. And here we have lights. Henry Ford. How many of you have a Ford? You ought to buy a Ford. He went bankrupt 5 times before the success of a car company that bears his name today. He's still here? Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, those are household names. Michael Jordan, for all you guys that are basketball enthusiasts. He was cut from his high school baseball, I read, from his high school basketball team. But he went on to great success. His coach told me, "You'll never make it," but he made it. It don't matter what people say to you. When I was a little kid, you know, kids are impressionable. I was just a little boy, and I was just in trouble all the time. I had someone who I thought I admired looked at me in the face and said, "You'll never succeed in life," told me that. But in 1985, the Holy Spirit came to my room and told me that I was successful. He said, "Everything you do, well, you will succeed in it." And he gave me Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Now, I didn't feel like a success, but I am a success today, and I will continue to have success. And you can believe whatever people tell you, or you can believe the Bible. Some of you think it's hopeless. What's happening in your life is hopeless. Yes, it is hopeless from the natural standpoint, but not from God's view. We think about music icons such as the Beatles and Elvis. They were rejected by big labels to produce music. The ones that refused to, you know, record their albums of music, they were pretty sad later on. And, I mean, I'm telling you, these are not Christians. These people just were determined. What's wrong with you? The same God who brought the Israelites over is the same God that lives inside you. Amen? If God is for you, who can be against you? So we need to bring up our confidence a little bit more. It's not all about you. It's about what God said about you. You can accomplish anything you want in terms of what's open for you in, according to the Bible. In fact, there's some Christians, some pastors, who succeeded greatly without God. You shocked about that? Yeah, there's a lot of people doing stuff. God's not in it, but they're doing good. But God's not in it, because the Bible says, Psalm 20 is very clear in the Bible, that look at Timothy. There's some things that people accomplish. It's all going to burn out at the end. Because it's not God. God wasn't in it. Psalm 127, when he said, "Unless God builds a house, they that labor in vain." It shows us that some people built things and did things. God was not in it, but they succeeded. I want to be where God said to be. Everything doesn't always look like it's successful. But I tell you, God sees you. Amen. This is a supernatural encounter this morning. Remember Dr. Seuss? He was rejected by 27 publishers. But he was published. I mean, I was not a Dr. Seuss guy, but I saw a lot of his books when I was a kid. All these individuals, all these people could have walked away from their dream because they failed and because they were rejected by some company or somebody. Their refusal to quit made them overcomers. Thomas Edison said this, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time." You know, I was lousy at quitting smoking. That was one of the harder ones for me to quit, and the sugar was the next one. Now I'm victorious over sugar. Okay, so I didn't quit sugar because I'm strong and wonderful and great. Okay, so I lost weight. You can tell I lost weight, right? I didn't fit this jacket now. And I can actually button it. It's only because, you know, the Holy Spirit said to me for 2 years, stop drinking sugar like that. Don't drink sugar. Cut it out of your life. He didn't say cut it out completely, but he said cut down on it. So I wouldn't cut down on it. In fact, I even used it more. I started drinking pop. I drink pop. Every time I sat down to eat anything, I always had a Coke. Had some kind of sugar drink. If it wasn't that, it was something else. I'd mix them. I'd go into a place and I'd mix all my drinks. Fruitopia and everything. You know, whatever I could find. And my accomplice right here, he never stopped me. In fact, he bought me more. Almost killed me. Anyway, so the Lord said, kept telling me, you know, you stop that sugar, stop. And I knew, like, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, and I teach this myself, and I wasn't even listening. Holy Spirit says he'll teach you all things, not just things about ministry, but everything in life. So I heard the Spirit said, don't do it. And a lot of people here are hearing God. You think it's just you talking to you, but your spirit is hearing something from the Holy Spirit and bringing it up to your mind. Now, I didn't want to quit sugar. So I know that's just not me or my flesh. It has to be from another source, from your conscience is the voice of your spirit. So my conscience was hurting me every time I drank sugar, every time I took sugar, every time I would sit there and go to the dollar store and buy a bag of treats that so I could watch the Toronto Maple Leafs and eat all these sugar things, you know. And so I went to the doctor. The doctor told me the last year, he said, you know, hey, your sugar's a little bit up there, you know. It's gone a bit up. And the next year I went back. He said, you know, it's gone up. You're not diabetic, but I would venture to say, you know, you need to cut down. So I cut down. So when I cut down, my wife cut down. All you men, if you want your wife to look like she used to, go ahead and cut down. Yeah? Yeah, we did it together. So it's good, you know, to listen to your spirit. So just one more time. So I said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to do this. And the last time I quit cigarettes, you know, I said, I put a date. I said, I'm going to quit at this time. And I never had another cigarette. No, listen. I love cigarettes. My flesh loves it. Oh, man, when I go by to somebody, that's my flesh. You can't listen to your flesh. It's not born again. You guys say, oh, you're a pastor. Of course I'm a pastor. I have flesh. You have flesh too. There's things that you're doing. There's some things. If you look very closely, I'll see something you're doing that you're not supposed to be doing either. Huh? And so I know I can't trust my flesh. Neither can you. You can't tell yourself, you know, you can cry baby all you want about stuff that's not going on in your life. Go ahead and cry as long as it's not going to change anything. Grieving about something over and over is not going to change anything. You're going to have to say, you know what? Hey, God, I know I've been hurt there. I'm going to move on. That's what happened. I've been healed. I was healed from my, you know, past with my childhood. I don't have to repeat all that, but I was healed from it. I used to have bad dreams. I don't have them anymore. It's gone. I'm healed. Glory to God. Listen, here's two women who didn't quit. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, the book of Matthew tells of a Gentile woman. This woman's not born again. She's not from the children of Israel. She was outside of the covenant. Just like you and I used to be. This woman sought help from Jesus. She approached Jesus saying, have mercy on me. O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. Matthew 15, 22. Initially, Jesus did not answer her, and even the disciples urged him, send her away. Even though Jesus was focused on his mission to the people of Israel, her determination, everybody say, her determination. Her determination got his full attention. She demonstrated a never-quit attitude as she pursued Jesus with her faith. As a result, Jesus declared to the woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted. Matthew 15, 28, the New Living. Her daughter was instantly healed. This woman faced opposition, first because she was culturally an outsider, secondly because she was resisted by the disciples. She could have left hurt and disappointed and offended by his disciples. But instead, she did not quit. She pushed through the opposition to get the answer. You know, sometimes get offended. God sends them to a church somewhere, and they get offended by some usher or somebody in the church, and they left, and God intended them to be there to hear something of victory, and God had planned out a year or two of great victory for them. And they were just, you know, and people leave. Here in the book of Mark, chapter 5, we find an example of another woman who didn't quit. The Bible describes her as a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, Mark 5, 25. At this time in history, this woman would have been considered unclean and was required to isolate from the general population. She was very determined to get her healing. The Bible says she had seen many doctors and spent all that she had, and it was no better, but rather grew worse, Mark 5, 26. When she heard that Jesus had or was a healer and was coming through her town, she did everything she could to get to him. She didn't allow for her religious thinking, her cultural thinking of the day, or the crowds even to keep her away. She refused to quit until she could grasp the hem of Jesus' garment and receive her complete healing. And Jesus said to her, Mark 5:34, daughter, your faith has made you well. Paul, for an example, Paul was a great apostle, we know. He's like someone who never refused to quit. He faced continual opposition, including beatings, imprisonment, sleepless nights, perilous journeys, shipwrecks, severe persecution from religious groups and by the government. See 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28. Despite of all this difficulty, Paul was determined to press forward for the goal of the prize of God in Christ Jesus, the Bible talks about Philippians chapter 3, 14. This is how we must respond when we face challenges. We cannot afford to quit. We cannot afford to faint if we expect our goals to come to pass in our lives, whether it's natural goals or physical goals or spiritual goals. Paul warned the Christians not to be weary in well-doing, because we could be weary. We could get tired of doing the same thing over. We don't see things happening. We see this in the Bible where people quit. They say, what's the use in serving God? We see in Malachi, the prophet was sent to the people of Malachi to go back to doing the tithing and offering. And they said, what's the use of tithing and giving offerings? They said, God says, return the tithe to me, and I'll return to you. I'll bless you. Hallelujah. And God, you know, the Bible says when we tithe, God blesses you. He blesses you. That's what Jesus does in the order of Melchizedek. He says, you bring the tithe because you're grateful. You honor God, and God blesses you by faith. You don't have to tithe. Nobody has to tithe here. None of you have to tithe ever. But if you want the blessing, that's another story. None of you have to pray. But it's better for you to pray. And you know, you don't have to come to church, but it's better to come to church. You don't have to do anything. But if you want the blessing, God promised Abraham the blessing. He said, I'll bless you. I'll make you rich. And anybody that comes against you, they're coming against me, and I'll take care of them. That's what he said, all through there. The Bible says in the 14th chapter of Genesis, God met, Abraham won the battle there against the kings. And with his little army, God was able to conquer other kingdoms with Abraham's little army. Why? Because God said, I'm going to bless you in chapter 12. Any opposition, I'm going to bless you. And the Bible says that when he defeated the kings, and the king came to him and said, you can have everything here. He said, I'm not taking anything from you because you're going to say that I made you rich. I don't want anything from you. King Sodom. And he turned to the priest, Melchizedek. He shows up. He didn't have a history. There's no ancestry. They don't know where he come from. The Bible never talks about it. It just says right there, all of a sudden, he appears. That's Jesus. Melchizedek is a type of Jesus that appears to the man, and he gives him a tithe. Like today, it says in the 7th chapter, when we bring our tithe to him, he will bless you because you're so grateful. You honor God. And God, in turn, continues to bless you. You bring your tithe, he continues to give you. What is the purpose of it? Protection and provision. Why do you do it? To honor God. It opens the door for God to enter your life in that covenant. That's why you bring your tithe. I want to tell you a story. I've been studying this for a long time. Long, long time. There's some things you don't always teach because not everybody's always ready for it. You know, God speaks to you and shows you things in different incremental things. And sometimes the church is not always ready for different things. And, we're ready for something here. We're ready for an explosion. We're ready for a blessing. More than before. Glory to God. You want to come to that service and teach on it. But the Lord told me to buckle down here. We don't scare anybody. The Bible says we will faint. We will faint. No. We will reap if we don't faint. We don't quit. So don't quit. Your future race awaits you. Little testimony as an adult student. I had many opportunities to be discouraged and quit. As an elementary school, in my school, in my attendance was hit and miss. I would barely attend classes because my parents weren't there to support me. I know some of you, your mom and dad feed you food in the morning. They'll give you a little bit of money. They'll take you to buy you clothes, put you in the car, drive you to your thing. I never had that. I never had anybody. In fact, when I came back from training school in minus 40 degrees, I got off the train. Nobody was there to welcome me. That wasn't the first time it happened to me. I got off of the bus one other time. It was blowing snow at Christmas time. And I thought my family would be waiting for me. Nobody was there. I could have quit and get mad. And I had to deal with the fact that I didn't understand about addictions. And now I understand why my parents were like that. They didn't care because they couldn't care. They were addicted. My parents were beautiful parents. I love my parents. They helped me when they could. But at a certain time in my life when it was critical, I was a teenager when I needed somebody, I didn't have them. When I moved to Thunder Bay, I didn't have anybody come and look after me. Nobody. I was on the street alone. Had no parents, no grandparent, no cousin, no brother, not even one native person that I knew that I can go to. I was in the street. That's why I lived at the Salvation Army. But I could have quit. I could have quit. And the person's prophecy about me, I'll never make anything but be an alcoholic. I was on the street as a young man, teenager. Come out of jail at 17 with criminal charges. Walking on the street, nowhere to go. So when my school was hit and miss. Barely attended school, high school. When I was an adult student, thinking about going back to school, I went to the college. I was going through what they called back then the Canada Manpower, who gave money so that you can go to school. So I went there and I did a test. And it came out that my testing, they said, you're functioning at a grade 3 level. I could have quit. I said, I can't make it. There's nothing I could do. I want to get ahead. I didn't have anybody to console me. Say, Roma, I believe you can do this. Cheer me on. Here's $20. Let's go for something to eat. I went right back to the place where I was living. I was in and out of detox. I could have given up, but instead decided to push forward. In my mind, somehow God gave me a vision of where I could be. I don't care how bad you have it. Inside of you, God's speaking to you, seeing your future. I decided to push ahead. After several years of attending college and university, I was able to complete, of course, my master's degree. And recently I finished my doctoral because of the work I did and the courses I took. After looking back at myself, I was certainly not a good candidate to any kind of schooling. I made the difference was I didn't want to quit. I said I could do this. So God has a plan for you. According to Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I have a plan for you. A plan of peace, a plan of hope. So we need to have a never quit attitude because God has already planned the victory for you. He's already got it made. He's already planned for you to have the victory. When the Lord told me in 1985, in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, he said, everything you touch will be successful. Everything you decide to do, when you decide to do it, it will. It didn't mean it's going to be easy, but he said, everything you decide to do is going to flourish. Then God gave me Deuteronomy and showed me there that whatever I put my hand to do, I'm going to succeed at it. And I believe that, in the times of trouble, when you want to quit, you got to rehearse in your mind some things that's going to get you through the tough time. Because there's going to be seasons when you don't feel like you want to do it. Here, you need a never quit attitude. Number one, start learning about what God has promised you. Do that today. Number two, find scriptures to stand on. Whether it's something being health or education or business, career, ministry, family, love life, find scriptures you can stand on. Number three, keep your heart and mind strong by focusing on the Word of God. Keep thinking on the Word. Meditate on those promises, number four. Meditate means talk to yourself about them. I do that all the time. I talk to myself all the time. Tell, this is what the Bible says. I can do this. The Bible says this. The Bible says, I continue. I said, devil, listen to me. Here's what the Bible says. When opposition comes to my mind, I said, nope. Here's what the Bible says. So I answer back with the Bible. Anything that comes evil in my mind like that. Five, resist the thoughts of fear and negativity. All negativity. I don't receive it. I resist those thoughts. I do not accept 1 ounce of negativity. Six, know that God's plan for you is always victorious. No matter what the enemy throws at you. Know that God has a victory plan for you. Number seven, quitting is never an option. Quitting is not an option for you. That's why our pastor says, I will not quit and I'll never be defeated. That's his motto. Number eight, don't quit when you face challenges, rejections, or failure. It's not the end. Number nine, you can overcome anything when you accept God's promises. Number 10, apply your faith and practice patience, knowing that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You might be facing an impossible situation right now. Abraham looked to God for a solution. He went to God's word. He planted that word in his heart. He said what God said about him. He didn't say what it was. He said what it's going to be and what God said it is. Be like the Israelites who faced incredible odds by armies, three armies coming against them, and Judah and the man of God. He said, "Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we're looking to you for help." 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. You know, when you don't see an answer, you might be walking around, you're just faced with emotions, thoughts are racing through your mind. Brother Hagin taught us this. Faith, the Word of God, is the eyes of faith. The Word shows you your future. Look at that Word and say, "This is what God's Word says about me. God gives me victory. No matter how hard it seems, no matter how difficult it might look like, how impossible it is, God has given me the victory." Faith shows us the reality. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows us the reality, or you could take the word faith and use the Word of God, because faith comes by the Word. Faith shows the reality, or the Word of God shows us the reality of what we hope for. The Word of God is the evidence of the things we cannot see. What you cannot see now, what you cannot feel right now, take the Word of God and say, "This is what God says about me. I embrace that. I trust that. I rely on it." When you have bad feelings, negativity coming at you, take the word, embrace it, and say, "This belongs to me. I have it now. It belongs to me." We want to close in prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord God. We're going to close with prayer. We want to close in prayer with the prayer of casting your cares upon Him for everybody. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord.